Greetings, friends and new listeners. Welcome to the Archie Hardy Ministries program. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for joining us today, because we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Today's teaching by my father, Brother Hardy, is exciting and informative, so make sure you get each episode of this outstanding exposition on the gifts of the Spirit.
The final two of the gifts, the two that involve tongue, and tongue means language. Divers kinds of tongues. I want you to notice and file this in your head. It's in plurals. Means species of languages and interpretation of tongues. Divers kinds of tongues. You do not get one tongue. You do not get one language in this gift. You get divers languages. How many understands this point? You don't get one tongue. And I kept telling you, remember, let the prophet speak two or three. How many say amen? And you're going to find out that when you speak in tongues, you're supposed to speak in two or three tongues. That is why you get divers tongues and not one tongue. Divers, different, species of languages. And we're going to find out why in this most misunderstood gift of all, and one of the ones that's most hated by the devil. I believe he fights tongues more than anything of the supernaturals that God has. One reason, it's a sign of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If Jesus is still in the tomb, which means he hasn't risen, and if he hasn't risen, then he hasn't received the promise of the Father and poured out the Holy Ghost. If he has risen from the dead and not in the tomb and poured out the promise of the Holy Ghost like on the day of Pentecost, then every time you speak in tongues, you're saying, he is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. Bad singing, good revelation. Every time you speak in tongues, you're saying he's risen, he's not in the tomb. All right. The gift is in the plural in both words. This means a person receives not one tongue or language, but a plurality of tongues. This is a very important point, for God always witnesses his word in two or three witnesses. 2 Corinthians 13:1 said, this is the third time I've come to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. God witnesses his message in two or three. That's why we got Genesis. That's why we got Exodus, and we got Deuteronomy. I mean, notice what Deuteronomy means. Deuteronomy, do is two, and onomy is law, the second witness. That's why we got three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that are telling the same thing. How many say amen? John's telling you about the deity of Jesus. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are giving you the same miracles, the same messages, the same parables and such, because in the mouths of three witnesses. How many say amen? Is that all right? Now we're going to go into the usage of the tongue. Tongue is used as a sign. The Holy Spirit used the gift of tongues as a sign to the hearer on the day of Pentecost. This was to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah as quoted in 1 Corinthians 14:21 and 2. It is written in the law, and I think it's Ezekiel 28:11, with men of other tongues and their lips will I speak to this people, yet for all this will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe, but for them that believe. Tongues are for a sign. And in the church services, tongues broken out during the preaching part are out of the order unless they are interpreted. The saints don't need a sign. I don't need a sign. What I want is edification, exhortation, or comfort. Give me a prophecy. How many say amen? Is that all right? On the gift of tongues, the Holy Ghost anoints and gives the word to speak forth by the believer. Acts 2:4 showed that. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Whenever the Holy Ghost wants to use the tongue to bring a message in the church, He anoints the speaker and tells him what to say. How many say amen? Then the companion gift, because interpretation cannot function without tongues. See how they're a team? If there's no tongue, there's nothing to interpret. How many say amen? So the interpreter is to give the interpretation of what was said in diverse tongues. More than one, at least two, and at the most three. How many say amen? The Holy Ghost puts the anointing on that activates the gift of tongues spirit and tells that spirit what to say in two or three different languages. How many say amen? Jesus also promised the believer would speak in tongues as a sign and proof of his resurrection, Matthew 16:17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Every time you speak in tongues, like I said, you're saying he's risen. God wants to use this gift to the church. The Holy Ghost, like I said, anoints the gift spirit and tells the gift spirit what to speak in two or three languages. It's a sign to the unbeliever in the attendance, but it's no good to the rest of the church until it's interpreted. Paul, 1 Corinthians 14:5-13 said, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may be edified. Greater what? Greater benefit to the church, not a greater person. Greater benefit, because the speaker in tongues only edifies himself, where the prophesier edifies the whole church and himself. Tongues is no purpose at all to the church without the interpretation. One interpreted, it's equal to prophecy. How many say amen? Regulation of the gift of tongues and prophecy. Now here's where we come into the most misunderstood part about gifts and prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14:27, Paul here is regulates how a tongue message should come. Remember that God always witnesses his word in two or three witnesses. 2 Corinthians 13:1, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouths of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. How many say amen? Now let's pick it up and read what he has to say. 1 Corinthians 14:27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue. And notice the unknown is in italics. How many see the slant print? If you got a King James version. And the unknown means it's not in the original. All it says in the original Greek, if any man speak in a tongue. And here the translator is trying to interpret it, that it's unknown to the speaker. It's a language he doesn't know. It's a supernatural language. How many say amen? It doesn't mean it's not known somewhere in the universe. How many say amen? How many's out there? You follow me? Okay. If any man, and I want you to notice it's man, singular. Forget about interpretations now. Let's think of the gift of tongues operate, right? If any man speak in a tongue, he is commanded to be what? He is commanded to do what? Let it be by two or the most three. You don't bring a message to the church with one tongue. You bring it with two or three, so that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Do you see that there? He said, if a person singular feels God moving on him to bring a tongue message, he's to speak that tongue message in two or three of the species of languages that God gave him. Huh? As a witness that God demands in two or three witnesses. You see it? How many sees it? If any man speak in a tongue, I'm going to leave unknown out, let it be by two or the most three, and that by course. And in your syllabus, I told you that the word that by course means anamaros. Anamaros. This is a prepositional phrase, and it means speak a part in a tongue or one tongue, and then a second part in a different tongue, and then a third part in another tongue. He's to speak in two or three tongues, one part in one language, one part in another language, one part in the third language. Him and he sees it. If any man speak in a tongue, don't let him speak by one, but let him speak by two or the most three, and that by course, one after another. How many say amen? Now here's how Pentecost is interpreted. There can only be two or three messages spoken in tongues in any one service. And don't say nothing about that at all. We're not even talking about interpretations yet. Can you see this compound sentence? How many sees it? Let's take it and break it up. They got it in commas. Let's break it up. If any man speak in a tongue, not one, let it be by two or the most three. How? One after another, one part of the message in one language, another part in another language, another part in a third language. And then let one interpret what he said into two or three tongues. And he didn't say how many times that could happen in a church service. Don't mix up interpretations with the tongue part. Interpretation don't come in until after you spoke to two or three tongues. And let one interpret, not three different people interpret the three parts of the tongue message. You see it? You're not even talking about interpretation yet. Yet, all of mostly Pentecostal organizations say it can only be two or three messages. Well, let's take it the way they said it. Two or three messages, it means that one person has to speak two or three. Right? Can't be three different people. It all has to be at the same time in a service. It can't be one in the middle, beginning, one in the middle, one in the end, because it said one right after another. That by course. And then he say amen. And third, it says one person has to interpret all three. How many times have you seen a message in the beginning? A little later on, another message in tongues and interpretation. And at the end, interpretation, and God used six people. Three different people to bring the tongues, three different people to bring the interpretation. Against this scripture, isn't it? How many say amen? God's not regulating, not limiting the gifts of tongues and interpretation, but regulating them, telling it how it must come. Two or three speak, that man speaks two or three of your species. That's why he gave him more than one language. Speaks the message that God's given him in two or three. You know, most of the time, we got a little bit of tongues and a whole lot of prophecy. Anybody say amen? I don't know. I'm trying to read you out there. I don't know whether you don't believe me or what. Of course, if you don't believe me, then you have to prove I'm in error, like Mr. Finney said, before you can demonstrate to me, before you can convince me of error, you must first demonstrate to me you understand what I'm talking about. How many say amen? Now, you can't fault me grammatically. I stayed within the commas, and the interpretations didn't come in till after the two or three tongues were spoken. And then it has to be singular speaker in tongues and singular interpreter. How many say amen? Okay. So let's lock that in a little bit tighter. Now, if we limit speaking in tongues to two or three messages in a service by the 27th verse, let's go down to the 29th verse and see what he says about prophecy. And he uses the same formula, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. Well, that means it only can be two or three prophecies come, doesn't it? If we use the interpretation of 27, it does, don't it? And remember the word let us what? Commanded to do it. He commands two or three prophets to speak in the apostolic churches in the first century. Why? We must remember they didn't have the written word of God like we do. They don't have 1 Corinthians that we can check their message. They don't have the full revelation of the New Testament that we can check their message. Therefore, when God is going to bring a prophecy, he had two or three prophets to speak and then let the rest what? Judge. But now Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, the written word. How many say amen? So now if somebody prophesies, I don't have to have two or three more to speak. To witness it, I got a second witness in the word here. I'll line it up with the word. But the formula was, he commanded two or three prophets to speak, and then let the rest judge. So what does the 28th verse said? Or the 30th verse said? If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you what? 31st verse? For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. So he wasn't limiting nothing. He was regulating and telling how it must come. How many say amen? In those days, because they had not the Bible to check them. But God was bringing progressive wisdom and knowledge to the church. What did he say in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, about the 3rd verse? Paul said, I'm now speaking to you things that were hidden from men in age past that is now being made known to the sons of men by who? The apostles and prophets. So the prophets along with the apostles were bringing the revelation of the New Testament. And that's why whenever God was going to bring revelation through the prophets, he had at least two or three prophets in that service so that they could, two or three could witness. In other words, when the two or three prophets prophesied, they didn't say the same thing, but they lined up and harmonized in their message. And the rest of the people, especially those that had the gift of discerning of spirits, was to discern and judge and see if it was the Spirit of God bringing the word. But now, since the apostles and prophets have given us the canon of the word, and nothing can be added to this word, and this is infallible, spoken prophecy can be fallible. But the written prophecy and word of God is infallible. It's absolute truth. But spoken prophecy must be judged because of man's spirit getting into the action. How many say amen? So therefore, God doesn't hold strict to this rule because of the word of God that's been canonized, the infallible word, and we can judge the prophecies. And we can judge the tongues and interpretation. Somebody gets up and speaks their message to one language, second language, a third at the most, and somebody interprets. First of all, we judge their lives to see if they're acceptable. How many say amen? And then we judge the message, like the prophecies, to see if it lines up with the Word of God. If it meets the criteria of judgment, then we take it from the Lord and rejoice. Of course, now when we bring the prophecy, your spirit's in tune with the Holy Spirit, and you know it's God. Your spirit's lifted up. How do you know that it's the true gift of prophecy? Because it's going to edify the church. How many say amen? You're going to be edified and lifted up. A word is not going to come and you're going to be sitting there and wondering, you know, is that God? What's he saying there? Your spirit's going to know. If you're in tune with God, you're going to know. He does spiritual what? Discerns all things. Even if you don't have the gift of discernment, if you stay spiritual, you'll still discern. Now, how many understands? Paul was not limiting, but regulating, telling how the true gift of prophecy in apostolic days, the true gift of tongues, you spoke one, two, the most three, one man interpreted what you said, and it didn't have any limitation on how many times it was commanded to be brought that way. When prophecy came in the Corinthian church in apostolic days, two or three prophets had to speak, and the rest judged. But then if another revelation came on one that sat by, then this first one anointing will recede, and this fourth one could get up and prophesy. And then Paul said the whole church could prophesy one after another, one by one, that all may learn and all may be what? Edified. So how many understands? Isn't that beautiful? Okay. Now, God not only uses the tongues for a sign to the unbeliever, not only does he use it to speak to the church, but tongues is the most beneficial gift to the saint can have, because it builds him up, and he's talking to God and he's worshiping God and praising God in a supernatural language. And he say amen. Huh? For by the gift of tongues a man is able to build himself up. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And that's not bad, is it? But that was the danger in the Corinthian church. They were selfish, and they didn't care about the rest of the church. So they came in, and the whole church was speaking in tongues the whole service, and that's all they did. And everybody went away feeling great, because they got edified. But Paul said, what about the rest of the church? And what about the sinner and unlearned person that comes in? And all you do is speak in tongues and do it the whole service and don't do nothing else. He said, you're going to say you're crazy. They might come a second time to see if you're really crazy, but they won't come no more after that. And our motive and our goal should be to edify the church and reveal Jesus to the lost and get them saved. And if I can get edified in doing it, amen. And if I don't, if I get struggling, I'm in the battle preaching or teaching, so be it. As long as the church gets edified and as long as somebody gets saved. How many say amen? Okay. Paul said, if I speak in tongues, I edify myself. By the gift of tongues, I'm able to speak directly to God. 1 Corinthians 14:2, 14 and 15 said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. That's why it's so beneficial. How many say amen? Huh? For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mystery. And it don't even help you naturally. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what prays? My spirit prays, my gift spirit prays. How many say amen? But my understanding is what? Unfruitful. Paul said, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He said, good, let your spirit speak in tongues, but then let him go ahead and speak in your own language so you can get blessed too. Natural man. How many say amen? It also enables him to worship and sing and bless God through it. It's man speaking to God, not God speaking to man. That's why he can get out of order, because tongues can be used without the direct anointing and inspiration of God. This is the only gift that can so be used without the direct anointing and gift of God. It's your spirit saying amen. It's your spirit singing. It's your spirit praising God. It's your spirit talking to God. How many say amen? And if it was the direct work of the Holy Ghost all the time, why would he rebuke the whole church speaking at once in tongues? For the Holy Ghost would never do that. How many say amen? You have to control that. Anybody that blurts out when a man's under anointing and preaching and breaks out loud in tongues and then don't bring an interpretation, he's out of order.
Amen. What an insightful and timely teaching by God's servant, Brother Hardy, on the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God that he has endowed his church, the body of Christ, with these 9 marvelous manifestations of his Holy Spirit to bring forth mighty works of healings, deliverance, and revelation to his people, and also as a witness to others that they might believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the early church in Acts went forth preaching and teaching the gospel, God worked with them, confirming his word through mighty signs and wonders. How much more do we today need the gifts of the Spirit in this age of counterfeit supernatural manifestations by the kingdom and prince of darkness? This teaching is vital to our understanding for every believer and answers the question unequivocally and scripturally, are the gifts of the Spirit for today? And who may operate in the gifts? How and when? You will understand the operation, the purpose, and the function of the gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophecy, and discerning of spirits, and how these gifts often work in tandem with each other, as well as the power gifts of faith, healings, and working of miracles. And finally, you will understand the gift of diverse tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues, and what the difference is between the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues given to the individual for his own personal edification, and the gift of diverse tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues that operate in the church assembly. This complete in-depth teaching on the gifts of the Spirit is available on a double CD set and can be yours for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. Request offer 304. Our mailing address is R.G. Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Again, the offer number is 304 for the gifts of the Spirit, a double 2CD set for your love gift of $15 or more. Our mailing address, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Until next time, this is Sharon Knott saying Maranatha.